Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Morning News with Webster and Nancy.
I asked.
Bumper music, is that what you got here, Jason? It's the Morning News.
Spice up your life.
Webster and Nancy on WILK. John Webster's off. Jason Barsky's in. You asked Sean Spicer what song he wanted, and you thought he told you to pick it yourself.
I said, do you have any preference? Because I was fine. I'm very easygoing. And I said, anything? He says, up to you, Jason. Up to you. I said, that's a bad idea, Sean. I don't know if he's going to. I feel bad, but I thought that was cute. It's radio.
Oh, you're supposed why to. Not?
He's Sean Spicer. Spicer, I'm sure.
We got it. All right, let's get to him. Sean Spicer, he was Trump's press secretary, also former communications director for the Republican National Committee, Newsmax TV host, and author of a new book, Leading America, available for pre-order now. Sean Spicer, thanks for being on the show.
I learned my lesson, Nancy, didn't I?
I'm so sorry.
It could have been worse.
No. It's kind of funny that you have all the songs that he chose, because I actually talk about that song. It was the first song on Dancing with the Stars, and so it's actually appropriate for the interview, because it comes up in the chapter that I wrote about dealing with Dancing with the Stars.
Oh gosh, because I was going to ask you a little later about Dancing with the Stars, and I thought that song sounded familiar. I remember you dancing to that song, but we'll get into that anyway.
See, I made that was a relevant decision. It's like
it all tied in.
So
Jason's trying to feel vindicated now.
I'm 100% vindicated. I'm going to retire from this business and say I went out on top.
All right, so Sean Spicer, most people have sort of what they call a honeymoon period when it comes to the new gig, okay? You were really in the frying pan right from the start when you were with the Trump administration, you know, the whole inauguration crowd size thing. Remember, the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration period, both in person and around the globe. Now, I know that after that you have said that was something you regret having said.
True.
Yeah. You regret it because...
For several reasons. The first is that it was sloppy. I think we were trying desperately to get a counter argument out there, and we were, you know, it was actually kind of similar to today. It was a three-day weekend. People had kind of taken off from the federal government. It was Saturday, and we had limited resources. We were trying to make an argument and doing it quickly because the president wanted us to push back quickly. And it wasn't the right tone or tenor to start everything off with. So from that standpoint, I mean, you look back and you go, okay, that was probably not the way to kick off everything.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are, how many years later, and the president is running again. Obviously, your book, which I did give you the title, but it also, let me just get the rest of it, because it's Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, and Capitalism. Obviously, you support him, running in another 4 years. Running for another 4 years. So do you think he has been leading America?
When you look at the policies and the accomplishments that the president has been able to accomplish, there's no question about it. I'm a very proud conservative. And when you look at what he's done with the judiciary, when you look at what he's done with regulations and taxes, building up the military, taking care of veterans, and you go through that kind of list, how he's renegotiated trade agreements to benefit American workers, you can't argue that he hasn't accomplished things that are high on the priority list of conservatives for decades. And part of what I try to do in the book is cut through the clutter and to say, look, focus on what's happening and what those accomplishments are and what those results are. Because at the end of the day, people, always want to focus on tweets and style. And I understand that. And I'm not saying it's not without merit. But at the end of the day, what makes things work well or not are policies and whether or not they're actually effective and implemented correctly.
Now, when we look at polling numbers, and I'm not talking about who people are voting for, things that people care about right now, COVID-19, healthcare, very, very near the top. And when you look at the last 3.5 years, and now COVID obviously is just the last 9 months, in those cases, though, it doesn't seem like the president has really led America.
Well, look, what I would say about COVID is it's novel. And so, therefore, there's been some good weeks that the White House has had, and there's been some not-so-good weeks, right? But at the end of the day, regardless of who's president, at some point, it's a novel virus. Well, it'll go its way. When you look at the issues that sustain us as a country in terms of the economy, our military, trade, and foreign policy, those are issues that don't come and go, right? So viruses, hopefully, in this case in particular, we'll go sooner rather than later. We'll get a vaccine and some therapeutics, hopefully. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got to make sure that people are employed. We've got to make sure that they're trained and educated, that they're protected, that they're safe. Those are things that are enduring, whether or not we're talking about, you know, next week, next month, or 10 years from now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a question for you, Sean. It seems like you are someone who kind of prides yourself on just being able to own things. If something goes wrong, it goes wrong. Nobody's perfect. You seem like you're...
Well, I appreciate it because I think that's... I think that's fair. And the second thing is, I think the only way you grow both as a person, as a professional, is to be honest about how you've done, right? In the military, there's always this thing that we do called an after-action report at the end of any exercise, whatever, and you do, what are the three things to sustain? What are the three things to get rid of? And so I think I try to live my life that way, not just on the professional level, but on a personal level. If you have a bad interaction with someone, and you can turn around and say, hey, I just want to let you know, I got a little ahead of myself yesterday, and I'm sorry that I, you know, maybe got mad at you or jumped to a conclusion. It makes you a better person, and it makes you a better friend, a better, you know, husband or wife or father. So I just think that that's the appropriate way to live your life, in my opinion, anyway.
So when you're press secretary, though, is it tough to, because you have to take orders from the president. It doesn't seem like he has that philosophy necessarily. Is that to put you in an awkward spot, or is it just, okay, this is my job, this is what I have to do? Like, do you find yourself realizing, I'm going to say something, it's going to upset half the country, but I have to do it as my job? And do you work better outside of that environment, do you think?
Well, the thing that was so interesting about the Trump administration is normally, like, you know, my job for 25 plus years was to tell politicians and military leaders, if we want to accomplish this, here's the message that we want to send out. Here's the means and the tactics to do it. And they would generally buy off. It works the opposite in Trump world. You know, he sort of said, this is the message. This is how we're going to get it out. This is how I'm going to say it, da, 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 and then you execute it. So it's a vastly different construct than I'd been used to, and frankly, most professionals have been used to. And so that part is hard because you're echoing. You're not implementing necessarily in the same way that you would if you had a normal principal that was sort of looking to you and say, okay, how do we get this out?
Right. What advice would you give him? I don't know. I know that you support him. I don't know how much you're in contact with him. But is there any advice that you would give him now that we are, you know, 20 some days away from Election Day?
Yeah, so I talked to him. I probably talked to him 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And I said, hey, the strongest moment that you had in that last debate was when you said 47 months of accomplishments versus 47 years of doing nothing in Biden's case. And I said, you do. You have a record. You've got policies that are working. Focus on them. Just stay focused. I mean, that's what people matter about. Like, and I said this yesterday, that there was a, you know, there's a lot of talk about Hillary Clinton's emails. And I said, look, no one's voting on emails. You know, it may be a fair point. It may not be. I'm not here. I'm not going to get into it. What I will say is that no one's going to vote on you regardless of Hillary Clinton's emails. They will vote on you, vote for you or against you based on what the plan is for the economy, what the plan is to deal with COVID, what the plan is for, you know, increasing care to veterans. Mm-hmm. Those are things people care about and that they vote on. And the more that we can stay focused on the accomplishments and the policies, the better. And that's, you know, again, getting back to the theme of the book, that's part of this, is to say, wipe away the tweets for a second and think about what's going on in this country and the alternative, which is also very scary.
Mm-hmm. Now, quickly, I obviously, and it seems like anybody in that position, especially, you know, it's changed hands since you've been there a couple times. But it's a job where the media is not exactly looked at, you know, favorably. And now you're now hosting and a part of that media that at one time you felt was, you know, working against you. I mean, is it what's your perspective? How has it changed since you're now on the other side of that microphone?
Well, it's a good question, because here's the thing, Nancy. I have a show every night at 6 o'clock on Newsmax. I have been very clear from the beginning. I'm not a journalist. I host a TV show. What makes my show different every night is I will tell you exactly what I think and what my opinion is and inject myself into stories. I'm not trying to be a journalist. I don't want to be a journalist. And I think that's important to note, because what I want to do is have guests on and have conversations and say, you know, kind of feel like a dinner conversation or like your radio show where you can actually engage with folks and talk. But do it, you know, on air. And that's different, is that I'm the thing that's fascinating about my show is I'm open and honest. I'm very clear. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I support the president. I believe in certain policies. I have a ton of Democrats on the show and liberals, and I want to have that conversation in a very respectful and civil way. And I think people who watch the show, that's what the enjoyment part of it is, that we go back and forth, but it's always civil. It's always respectful. There's no yelling. There's no screaming at guests. And so I think that's the difference, is at least I'm open about what I'm saying. You know exactly where I stand and where I'm coming from, where I have a problem with and what I write in the book. I have a whole chapter on journalism and journalism schools. And when you realize where a lot of these people are coming from and how they've been trained, they want to pretend that they don't have an angle. And in many cases, that's just simply not true. So I think part of it is being open and honest and transparent about what your agenda is.
Mm. And just one last thing, being someone who obviously is, as you say, a conservative and a Republican, there have been a number of high profile Republicans and military, you know, former leaders and such who have thrown their support behind Joe Biden, you know, the Democrat running against mm-hmm. President Trump. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I hate to say, sound kind of cheesy, but I think, look, this is America. You want to support someone? Great, go for it. I disagree with them, and I think especially in the areas of national security, and this is a much longer answer to go into in just a minute, but I mean, there are a lot of people who are invested in certain policies and certain ideas, especially when it comes to national security and defense for a variety of reasons. And I think the idea that the president isn't buying into the standard, you know, let's just keep the same things happening, is a problem for a lot of these folks. They've spent 30 years building up a policy or a program that they think is working, and the president disagrees with them. And so he's gone out there and said, I want to change courses. You look at the Afghanistan policy in particular. He's been very clear that he wants to get troops out, that he doesn't want it. He wants to end senseless wars. And a lot of these folks at the higher end of national security in the military don't agree with that. They want to, for a variety of reasons, and I'm not going to disparage them, but I just think that they're wrong. But they have every right to do it. This is what makes the country great.
Sean Spicer, the book is Leading America, President Trump's Commitment to People, Patriotism, Capitalism. That's out tomorrow, is it not? I think it's tomorrow, so.
It is. So I think if you go on Amazon today, at least if you live in one of those areas that Prime is available, you could actually order it today. I think it arrives tomorrow, so.
Yeah.
You know, get it now.
Time is a wasted. We're only less than a month away from the election. So thanks. Thanks for being on with us, Sean. We do appreciate it.
All right, Nancy, Jason. Thank you.
WILK News Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.